Recently, on the website for the online news service Inside Higher Education, Kalamazoo Valley Community College English instructor Keith Kroll asked, "Where have all the faculty gone?" It's the title of his essay on what has happened on community college campuses because of the growth in classes taught entirely online. Keith Kroll joins us. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
What made you want to write this essay?
Well, over the last, I'd say, 10 or 15 years that I've been teaching, I've noticed full-time faculty seem to be disappearing from campus more than they had in the years ago. And of course, I wondered why, and then it dawned on me that in the last 10 years or so, online education has blossomed around the country, especially at community colleges. Online courses are growing fastest at community colleges than any other sector of higher ed. Except, you know, part-time faculty are always invisible, and by that I mean their working conditions. They tend to come to campus, teach one class, maybe two classes, and then they're gone. So they don't have much contact with students to begin with, even though they try. And as I was just walking the hallways, going into the mailroom, looking into the library, other places on campus, I just noticed I didn't see many full-time faculty anymore, and then realized looking through course schedules and talking with them that a lot of them began teaching one, two, three classes, four classes, which would be roughly 60 to 80% of their teaching load online. Not all of them, but quite a few. And if you're teaching completely online, you tend not to be on campus very much.
You say that you will never teach online. Why?
I quoted Parker Palmer's Courage to Teach on that. So I'm a fan of his. And I agree with him that it's just not the kind of relationship I want to have with my students. I prefer face-to-face relationship where I get to know them, try to build a sense of community in the classroom. And I realize there are face-to-face classes with 400 students, and you can't do that very well. And I notice that proponents of online education often use the 400-student, 300-student, 200-student lecture hall as the comparison when they argue for a large class size, you know, online, just as good as the 200-student lecture hall course. What they don't usually mention is it's not as good as the 20-student face-to-face colloquium. So that's why, I mean, I just want to have that sense of community. As I said in the piece, when I do walk into the pharmacy or the pet store or the restaurant in town, it's nice to know that I can recognize my students. As one of my colleagues who teaches completely online told me, he could be standing at the pet store or at the grocery store. In fact, he knows he's done this and be waited on by his student or have a student behind him and not know that person at all because he's never met him or her face to face.
And that student also doesn't recognize the professor in many of those cases?
No. By the way, my colleague who teaches all online, not in Michigan, had told me that at his college you do have to have office hours, but that in the 5 or 6 years he had taught on completely online, he'd only had a handful of students ever come in and see him. So he basically sat there alone.
So are the students then part of the problem, that they are kind of seeking out this more convenient way of getting an education? Then they're not even taking advantage of the fact that they could sit down with their instructor or professor face-to-face at office hours.
True. Students, during my office hours now, I tend to see more of my former students than I do my current students. Community colleges are commuter schools by definition, by design, most of them, though some are opening dorms now. And a lot of students tend to come on to campus, go to their classes, then right back down the hallway and onto the bus or into their car, and they leave. So they're not on campus as much, so they're not on campus at all when they're online. So the chances we do have them to get them on campus, I think we need to foster more sense of community and keep them there.
How rare are you, the community college professor who has never taught a class online?
Well, I have a few colleagues at KVCC I know that haven't, but I think I'm becoming rarer. There's definitely a growing demand for online classes. Research just came out that students tend to like them if they're easier, and they tend to take face-to-face classes if they're harder. The Community College Research Center at Columbia University has done a lot of research on online teaching in community colleges, and they found that online classes in general, don't work very well for the type of student who is the typical community college student, maybe coming back to school, needs developmental ed type courses, basic skills classes, that those type of students don't perform as well in online classes. Attrition's higher, grades are lower.
At the same time, we do know that there are students out there who learn in different ways. We say, no two people learn exactly the same way. Is it possible there are some students out there who might learn a little better in an online setting than they would in a classroom?
I think so. My wife, in fact, got a master's online, though she said it didn't compare very well to her other master's, which she did face-to-face. But yeah, there are students who can learn well online. I think they tend to be more non-traditional or older students who perhaps already have a bachelor's degree or maybe a master's degree, who know the skills, attitudes that you have to have, attributes you have to have to take a class online. So it requires a lot. I'd always wondered what my students do who have taken online class, what they're doing when they're actually, quote, taking the class. So I've asked them over the years. And of course, they're not just sitting staring at their computer taking the class. They have their cell phone on, the radio might be on, they're texting, they probably have four windows open. And they're not really present. And then just in the last month, a professor at Cal State Dominguez Hills in California did some research where he actually observed students who were taking online classes. And they knew they were being observed because he had his students sitting behind him watching, and he was amazed at what was going on. You know, 7-8 windows open, texting, talking on the phone. So they're not really present when they're taking the class. And I realize in a face-to-face class, if it's in a classroom-based class, if you have 300 students, of course, they could be in the back of the room with their laptop screen up and they're online or talking on their phone. But in a smaller class, you can pretty much see if students are on their phone. And in my classes, we have policies that we develop amongst the group that, obviously you don't have your cell phone on during class.
Now, you teach English,
yep.
Which is something that, of course, requires reading, and then usually there's discussion about what you've read and those sort of things. I suppose that makes sense to have a classroom setting for that. Do you think there are some things which are more technical and therefore often, taught at a community college, which perhaps do work in an online setting?
That's a good question. Since I've never taught online, I'm sure there's subject matters. I suppose there is. I mean, I believe inherently that a face-to-face class is better than an online class, no matter what. And a bad online class is badder than a in-class.
I'm sorry, did an English instructor just say badder?
Yeah. On purpose.
You have an interesting story in here about a colleague at a community college in Illinois, and you were asking about somebody else at that same college that you know, a mutual acquaintance. And this is an interesting story about what happens when people work online. How did this conversation go?
Oh, I was at a conference and talking to an old grad school friend who teaches at a community college in Illinois, where another friend of mine teaches, and both of them teach completely online. And I asked the one colleague how his colleague was doing, my other friend, and he said, I don't know. I haven't seen him for a year or so. I think he's on medical leave. So when I came back to campus, I was able to ask someone about the other person and who was supposedly on medical leave, and I was told, no, he's not on medical leave. He teaches online also. So in other words, two colleagues in the same English department hadn't seen each other in a year, and I attributed it to that both of them are teaching online. So I said they were more now like independent contractors than they were. But that's happening where I teach, too. As I mentioned, there's some people who teach completely online, and other than a few professional days, you don't really have to be there.
I guess I'm wondering if that kind of stretches a little bit beyond education into a larger societal problem, that as we can work more online, the chances, the opportunity for human interaction diminish.
Definitely, I agree. I'm trying to think, is a Hewlett-Packard, the new CEO, is making everybody come back from one of the Silicon Valley companies.
One of the big tech companies,
a woman who just became the CEO. She moved over from another Silicon Valley company I think it's making all the people who are remote working, right? She's making them come back to their, quote, campus. It is a growing problem. I mean, that's not the way I want to teach. I believe in the human condition and human interaction. Students can be messy. It's not easy. You know, they can get in your face at times, but, you know, that's life. I enjoy that. I don't want to, like, run from them and teach from my house and not have any contact with them.
As I read your piece, I was thinking about a story I did, I'm going to say more than a decade ago now, about students who were in high school and doing some things online. And I recall interviewing one of them who I believe said he was planning to go to Kalamazoo Valley Community College. And I asked, what do you think when you go to college? You think you'll continue taking classes online? And he said, maybe some. He said, but I want to make sure I also get the college experience. Those were his words. Is the idea of the college experience now something very different than it was, say, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, another good question. The college experience, I think, of course, is different at different types of colleges, as you and I were talking about. You definitely get a different college experience at a residential college, small liberal arts college, a public university like Western, where you have students on campus. The KVCC, the community college experience, has always been different because, as I said, it tends to be commuter schools. Though it's interesting that there's a movement among community colleges right now to build dorms, which would keep students on campus. So
But if you keep them on campus and then teach everything online, yeah, they never have to leave the residence hall, right?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Exactly. But it is changing. I mean, students, you know, do want to take more classes online. I think the reasons they're doing it, I have problems with at times. We talk about harried lives, you know, it's convenient. Well, I'm not sure convenience is the best reason for getting an education or for why you should take a class. I think we need to look at why the student's life is so harried, but we never talk about that. But it's definitely changing, as I said in my article, it's definitely changing the college experience if you're not actually on the college. As I mentioned in the article, I definitely would have had a different experience if I had had Gary Snyder online or watched him on YouTube than I did as a student. My mentor, James Woodruff, the reason he had such a profound impact on my life was the interaction I had with him, the relationships I've developed with him. And I just don't think you can develop those in a completely online class.
This is at the University of California, Davis?
At Davis, yep.
So you say that community colleges should be trying to create more of an on-campus learning environment, more of a community. How would you propose they go about doing that?
Well, one thing is getting students and faculty on campus and keeping them there. There's a research group out of the University of Texas at Austin that studies community colleges, and they've put out a lot of work that the greatest engagement for students occurs in the classroom, which is obvious. And the higher the engagement among students with faculty and other students, the greater the success rate of those students. So it seems like if we want to have students be successful at the community college, graduate, transfer, get certificates, we'd want them on campus more.
Would you go so far as to say that community colleges should outright ban online classes?
No, probably not. Maybe completely online classes. I mean, I think hybrid is good. I think that issue's already gone now. I think online classes are here to say they're cheaper, I think, in some ways. People might argue, well, you got to develop them, but I think they're cheaper.
How do you strike that balance, though? I mean, because the community college does have to factor in people's lives, that there are people who will be working perhaps a full-time job and yet trying to get a certificate in something. It's often trying to make sure that students' economic needs are met. Convenience does factor in there.
Yep.
So with all of those things blended in, how does the college strike the right balance between making sure that people can go to college and at the same time making sure that when they do go to college, they're in a proper learning environment?
Well, you know, it comes back to, I think part of what you're addressing is, you know, that's this whole metaphor notion of student as customer. And so, you know, we have to give what the customer wants. And that's not a metaphor for students that I subscribe to. I actually like the notion of student. And I realize there are they do have issues. You know, back in the 40s, right after the World War II, when the GIs were all coming home and then going to college, and that's when community colleges exploded in numbers into the 60s, the idea was to have a community college within driving distance of most people in this country. And I think that was accomplished to a great extent. Now it's, well, you don't even need to go to the campus. You can just stay wherever you're at and take the class. So I'm not sure what's next. Maybe vending machine and you just pay your money and get your credits. But yeah, I mean, I think online classes are here. I think hybrid would be better. I just question, this could get me in trouble. I'm not sure the reasoning behind it is so sound. It's in my mind, it's not really pedagogical. It's not really about teaching. It's about convenience and economics.
At one point in this piece, you say that the courses are just sort of a obstacle in the way to someone getting credit.
Right. But as one of my colleagues who doesn't agree with my view on online education, well, he's a good friend. We write together. So he teaches online, not completely online. So he does have some issues with online classes. Yeah, he's made that point well, I say that about online classes, but why doesn't that apply to face-to-face classes? Students are just in there to get credit. So, I mean, what's the difference? Well, I think the difference is that you're face-to-face and you have human relations. You can develop relationships. That's my key issue is I don't know how you develop relationships online. I don't know how I would write a recommendation for one of my students if I had never seen him or her in he or she had taken a class of mine online. I mean, how do you write? I'm not sure. I have to ask someone. How do you write a recommendation? I know people who teach all online argue that, oh, no, I get to know my students. I'm not sure how that works exactly.
But I guess one point that someone might make here as a devil's advocate,
and
you've addressed it a little bit
they
here,
do.
but is an online course really that much worse than, say, a 300-seat lecture hall type course?
No, both of those are bad examples of education. And as I mentioned earlier, that's usually the analogy I've read of administrators who argue for online courses. They're arguing, oh, well, it's just as good as a 200-student lecture. Well, a 200-student lecture class isn't a very good form of education either, so it's just replacing one bad way of teaching with another bad way of teaching.
But 200-seat lecture halls filled with students have been here for many, many years now.
And that's why if you have you can afford it or you can get good financial aid package, a lot of students pick Kalamazoo College or an Amherst or an Oberlin, where those schools promote themselves on small student-to-faculty ratio. I think K is like 14 to 1. I think Amherst is 8 to 1. But Amherst costs sticker price $65,000. So my argument that actually didn't appear in the Inside Higher Ed piece was that the growing inequity in higher ed is just being is worse now with online, because pretty soon working class poor people who can't afford the K's and the Amherst will be going to community colleges and taking online classes, and those who can afford it will be going to K College or Amherst or Oberlin or small liberal arts colleges, some of them are struggling themselves because of online education and having to deal whether they want to offer online education. Some students will be getting that kind of education. I think all students deserve that sort of face-to-face, small, discussion-type course. We'll see what happens.
Keith Kroll, thank you for your time.
Thanks.